been hiding out and laying low. It's nothing new to us. It's live from the five hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but who's buying newsletters, official weekly podcast. And I am Sam Fells, your host, editor, and writer of said newsletter. Of course, we are in fatal four-way formation, probably because if we weren't, one of us would kill ourselves. So we're all here as a support group, and strength in numbers and all that. Leading off with the biggest jackass no talent in the business, he's Dr. Viral, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every night, every Monday night at 9 Central. I think he was pulling double duty last night, but I'm not sure.
He was.
It's Andrew Cieslak.
I got something to say. I quit my job on Monday.
Doesn't matter much to me.
As long as I'm not working there anymore.
You can find Slack on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. You can find me at Fell's Gate. Forgot that particular. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor. He's Matt McClure.
You know, if I hadn't just used Nine Inch Nails for intro music a couple weeks ago, I would use The Four of Us Are Dying Soon.
there's no limit to how much you can
I know,
use
but I don't. I just don't need to go back to the well that soon.
Fair enough.
But that one's in the holster for the next god-awful thing we have to witness.
You can find Matt on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin, and he is the oracle of Humboldt Park. And he was undressing at one point in the first quarter, but now he's about three or four layers deep. It's Fifth Feather John.
Sam, I'm covered in bear spilkus, and I need your help.
I need your help.
Holly's going through a big drooling phase. It's kind of like that.
The bear spilkus.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't find John on Blue Sky Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. John, take it away.
Well, Sam, my yellow pad is bursting. And I know that Andrew's peppers are a little bit hotter tonight than mine. But my peppers were indeed quite hot until about 2:30 in the morning last night when I think I dozed off for maybe a couple of hours before waking up in the morning. However, there are four plays that I want to discuss with you.
Okay.
These are right out of the yellow pad. The four plays that I felt where the Bears the game could have turned at any point heavily in their favor. Any of these four plays been completed?
I'm going to go ahead and guess that none of these are the two calls penalties against.
No.
Okay.
However, those obviously did play a factor in it as well. But if we're going to say be better than the call, these were the four plays that I felt
would have made them better than the call.
Right, right. And it's frustrating because we're at the point here where we're doing the same show over and over again. And you know, I don't know how much Andrew can take it. I'm really worried about him most.
I'm not sure how much I can take it. I'm in a way worse spot than he is. At least when the Bears game's over, his life's pretty nice.
But he's so much more dramatic than you are. So that's why I worry about him.
I'll take that bet.
I don't know. I'm pretty hyperbolic, Sam.
I can be.
Can you? You feel like you've mellowed.
You're able to come over here and watch me watch Liverpool sometime.
Oh, yeah. The team that always wins. It must be tough.
Yeah. And I'm still miserable.
And what's the point of all this?
I mean,
sad in a group.
To know the relief of when it's over.
Like life or something else?
Maybe life. I'll let you know when I get there.
I think the worst part about this.
Anyway,
is that
John, I'm sorry. I'm keeping you from what you want to get.
No, that's okay. I'll lead up to it. I'll tease the kids a little bit. You know, I think the worst part of last night was there was no reprieve. We didn't even get that moment where we're like, oh, we got the moment for about maybe 15 seconds of holy crap, this is awesome. You know,
we've seen the Bears look good during the scripted part of the game before. Now,
correct.
I know this was like their first opening touchdown in 5 years or whatever. but they, especially after Eberflus was fired last season, they did put together good drives, first drive of the game that ended in like field goals. So I've seen the scripted plays work before, but that not enough. Anyway, John.
I keep putting you off. Go ahead. No, that to me was part of it. I was really excited, but then the longer that went on with nothing added to it, the more and more the Spielkes got heavier and heavier. Because it just felt like it was, they let them hang around and hang around, and kind of what we talked about in the best show of the year. You know, the scenario that I was worried about most of them losing was where they had the Vikings on the ropes and just couldn't put them away, whether it was because of low scoring or just a lack of offense. And it was it was the lack of offense. But it wasn't so much as the lack of offense. It was the lack of those key chunk plays. And I think these four plays to me stood out the most.
Can I guess? I got three of them. I know what three of them are.
Okay.
Fourth down throw to DJ Moore.
Correct.
The throw to Cole Kmet.
On the first and 20 after the holding, the phantom holding. Yep.
Yep. And then on the last drive, the overthrow of DJ Moore, which would have left them more time.
Left them more time and prevented DJ from getting murdered.
I don't.
He's fine, by the way.
Yeah, well, I know. He's fine.
I'm not here to defend getting DJ Moore murdered, but
wait. Real quick. The thing about it that sucks is that it's for some reason one of Abatacola's big talking points is getting a receiver murdered. He's obsessed with it, and so it happened, and now he feels vindicated. So that's
right. I'm not as if no other team.
Receivers
go over the middle. Yeah.
Williams made that throw with someone unblocked, coming right down the middle.
Correct.
So the fact that he got it anywhere near DJ Moore is actually something of a miracle.
That's
not the play that we're talking about. That's not why you called.
That play didn't offend my sensibilities as much.
Give me the fourth one.
Was the second drive after they just went up seven nothing. They got a first down, and then they had two decent plays, and it set up that third and two from just outside the 50.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were moving it again. And then they called that wide receiver screen that he threw at Rome's feet that lost them 4 yards and completely took them out of first of all, I'm pretty sure Rome probably would have picked up that first down if that pass hits him in stride and he's able to just put his head up. He could probably fall over and pick up the first down.
He's pretty tall.
Yeah. And the fact that it ended up behind him losing yards cost them the chance to even go for it on fourth down at midfield. That to me was a huge swing because the offense was on the move again. That was another opportunity for them to add more points. Even if it's a field goal, you go up 10-0. That building is yoked.
I'm just excited that they've figured out a way to bring the throwing a ball to a guy who's literally just standing still to a brand new coaching staff. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I thought we were done with that, but apparently that's in Ben's playbook too. And I think it's just in every offensive.
It's just every playbook now. Yeah.
Playbook, yeah. So you just got to live with it.
Well, I've seen other teams throw and hit a guy who's running forward. I've seen it happen. Other teams can
do it. True. But the good news is that the NFL now allows the Bears to rush to the line and hurry a playoff so the other team can't challenge it. I don't know if you saw that. The NFL made a rule last night. So the Bears can do that now.
Yeah, I did.
On that first drive, I think they did it once or twice. They did it twice. On the Rome sideline catch. Right, on Mama Rome's sideline catch. They ran just to make sure because it was kind of close whether Rome's left knee was down before his right foot touched. So they hurried to the line, got the snap off, and it didn't matter. And they made O'Connell burn a timeout right after that. That first drive was perfect. You couldn't have drawn it up better, in my opinion.
I wouldn't
say
it was perfect if you consider that the buzz is that Caleb was eschewing longer throws to hit his checkdowns.
Whatever. You let him get into rhythm.
They scored, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a first drive of the game. Let him get in rhythm.
Still, doesn't it?
I don't need him, you know, if he doesn't feel comfortable throwing the ball 30 yards down the field off the get-go. Fine.
Brian Flores was
only sending four. He wasn't blitzing very much in the first half.
Rope-a-doped our coach. Fucking.
Well, see, I don't necessarily agree with that because if he completes that pass on the third and two, then they're right there and scoring again. And then all of a sudden, what's Flores doing? Why isn't he rushing more than four? So then the tables turn. I don't know that it was necessarily this, five-dimensional chess move by him. I think it worked out in his favor because the Bears kind of kept tripping on their own dick through that whole first half.
Well, and they needed to probably generate a turnover to get more possessions and or three and outs. So they decided mm-hmm. just to send the dogs.
They also just bought two new defensive tackles, and I think they felt comfortable.
Yeah.
Letting four go because they felt good about the two guys who had six pressures each against our awesomely upgraded new interior line.
I would love to know how many of those pressures came in the second half, though, too. Although I guess on those first drives, Caleb was kind of escaping.
Yep.
And anyways, the other thing about the first half that's really irking me today as I was thinking about it.
I'm going to get you more angry.
Well, I'm sure you will. But that last Bears drive, they kicked the field goal with 32 seconds left, and I think it was like a fourth and two, and I don't think they had any timeouts left, right? I think they had used their last mm-hmm. one.
Yep. Well, they had one. So
they had one, but it was the fourth and two. I understand Ben went for it the last time. You want the points before the half. Fine, whatever. You kick the ball off with 28 seconds left. Minnesota, who hasn't done dick all first half,
ugh.
JJ's loaded his dipe, and they have the ball inside the 35, and within 10 seconds, they're in field goal range. And granted, it's a 59-yarder, but you still let them get 20 to 25 yards to even get the opportunity to kick a field goal. That, to me, was infuriating. So you and I know Ben, when they came out of the half, he did call that out as something that the defense could have done better. But that to me, and again, like when you're talking about, we have always talked about it so much about these teams that play on the margins and they never make a mistake. And that's how they end up with more wins in the ledger than losses. And Minnesota is one of those teams. They will not make mistakes. And the guy never kicked a 59-yard field goal in his life. And he drilled it with plenty to spare. Well, not plenty, but enough. At least a couple more yards.
Enough.
Yeah. But I mean, it was right on the money.
Yeah.
Dead on balls accurate.
Right. Like you cannot give those teams an inch. And you can talk about Caleb and his inaccuracy, which I do want to talk a little bit about too, because I'm just baffled by it. I don't understand what is happening. Those four throws that I called out, they weren't even close.
No.
Weren't even close. And these aren't even, and it wasn't even like high pressure throws. These are easy layups
mm-hmm.
for any quarterback in the NFL. Not even like a number one quarterback or like a fitting it through a window where there was like nobody there.
Yeah, I think it's like you're looking at a guy who never was dinged for not being able to throw a ball to the actual receiver ever. I never heard accuracy is something that he's not good at.
Never.
And all of a sudden, it's a huge problem. Like, a huge problem.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a lot of revisionist history where people are like, oh, he's always been like this.
Nope.
This is how he was at USC.
False.
He was just playing against, terrible opponents. Okay.
So is everybody.
Like, that wouldn't have shown up if he was – right.
It's like, that's college.
Yeah, can we stay right there?
Plenty of open receivers to miss there too.
Absolutely, I would love to know an explanation because to me at this point it feels very mental, or it just feels like
definitely
his
mental.
His clock is sped up and he's trying to do things and he's overthinking and he's just not playing the way he knows how.
Yeah, let's stay right there for a sec. Can I tell
Please
you why
do.
I'm angry?
Of course.
And I'm getting ahead of myself and I'm not pronouncing anything because we've discussed multiple times. It's a season-long, maybe even a two-season-long experiment. Not experiment, but study.
Yeah.
Here's why I'm angry. As you three know, I am football stupid. When we go back 2 years ago, and we were having the debate about what they do with the number one pick, and obviously it seems stupid now, but do they keep Justin? Do they do this guy? And I sat here and said, okay, the guy they have to have just threw three interceptions against the only real defense he saw at Notre Dame. He can't beat UCLA at home. And everyone's like, don't pay attention to that. Don't pay attention. Their defense is terrible. The interceptions weren't his fault. You got to have this guy. You got it. This guy can't miss. Everyone said it. everyone. No one was around here saying they got a pass on this guy. And everyone who claims that they did is lying. This was the guy you had to have. Absolutely had to have him. Even the people, and I don't know who they are because I never saw them, who said, oh, they should have taken Jaden Daniels over him, wasn't Caleb
Lawrence.
Sucked. He didn't say that Caleb would suck.
No.
He just thought Jaden would be better. Right? It was like yeah. Splitting hairs.
Yes.
Good for him. What does that get him? Nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Congrats.
So now as he struggles and he's missing guys and all looks, there's no one admitting like, yep, I got it wrong. It's as Slack said, everyone's saying, oh, yep, this was an issue all the time. No, it wasn't. No one said that. Everyone went to the game and was like, look at this guy can do. Look at this arm talent. Look at this. Like, and now when he struggles, and now when it looks bad in practice and it looks bad in the game, everyone's like, yep, these were red flags. You know, Bears did it again. No, this isn't even a Bears thing. Everyone had this guy.
Right.
Everyone had him.
He wasn't the 15th pick. He wasn't a fourth-round pick.
No, he was the clear number one pick for 2 years.
Yes.
Everyone's like, you got to have him. You can't miss. Got to have him. And it's like, well, the Bears screwed him up. Nah, if he was can't miss, and he still might be. There's 16 games to go. It could be anything.
When do we start applying the Kirby Doc corollary?
It's not that far away.
You're the third. For those who don't know, it's Kirby Doc. Every year it was like, well, you know, he puts it together. It's like, no.
Magic training camp.
He's
the three magic training camps.
If he's not good by now, he's not good.
Right.
If this isn't some like, let's wait and see how it goes. It's going. It's going badly.
I mean, like, it's, you know, fine if he doesn't work out. What I hate is that no one goes back, especially the Bears beat writers, and is like, you know what? I had it wrong. No one ever says, I had it wrong. No one knows what they're doing. It's all guesswork. I had it wrong. It's all, yep, this was totally red flags and showed up on a scouting report and the Bears just ignored it. Where was that before the draft? Did you read it?
No. I did not read him. Read about
we read
him.
Everything.
Right. I did not read about him missing wide open receivers on easy throws.
Yeah.
Never.
Never read that as a weakness.
Right. Or that he wouldn't work hard, although we think that's bullshit. Or that, you know, he was babied by his dad and can't handle adversity. We never heard any of this. And then when it happens, people are like, yep, knew all along.
Told you.
And it's like, look, it's so easy to be right about the Bears. It's so easy. And yet this is how they choose to do it when they didn't say it. And that's when I get upset. And then I feel like I'm not so football stupid. Because I'm sitting here going, this guy didn't play against anybody.
But what I mean, and I agree with you, but like, that doesn't get us anywhere, I guess.
No,
it's,
but that's what's making me angry. Cause it's only I calmed down a little today. It's only the first game, long way to go. It's basically starting over. I look around at other quarterbacks, look at their first games. Like, all right, you know,
well,
can be a little wonky.
Going back to football stupid. Like the part of the reason why I did the 0-17 bit is because every year with Nagy and Eberflus, we sit here and we do our best show of the year, and we come up with, we figure out a way to get to between nine and 11 wins,
yeah,
for every team.
That's what being a fan is, though, isn't it?
Well, it's been football stupid to do it. If that's what we actually think, if it's, you know, the Vikings can't come in here and win on the road in JJ McCarthy's first ever game, that can't happen. Why not? It's the Bears. So we're not talking about a normal football team, and we never have. Like, it transcends people. Like there's a, like it's Jerry Seinfeld's car with BO in it. You step in there and you're covered. It doesn't matter where you came from. It's unavoidable and it attaches to you.
All right. This is what I warned you about. I was going to argue with you.
Go ahead. Oh, with that?
No. I mean, in general, yeah.
Sure.
So this is more devil's advocate thing because I'm not sure you're wrong, but I have to say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the best show of the year last week, you basically said this around the 0-17, and you said, look, this is going to be a bigger project than we're anticipating. It's
absolutely
a year, maybe two. It's a project. It's going to take a while.
Yep.
So if that's the case, can you really get angry about last night?
Well, isn't that what fanning is?
Not if you just logically laid out what you were expecting.
I actually believe that is going to be the case. I think the part that pisses me off and why I'm really mad about yesterday isn't anything other than Caleb Williams looked like shit to me. And
so
I think
he, so if he looked good, but they lost, you'd be like, all right, that's fine. I would be
in a much better space.
I think we all would. I think that's fair.
And the other part is I'm starting to think that Ben and his crew, because I think Ben is probably more in charge than even Ryan Poles is at this point. Does anyone disagree with that? Yeah. I think they're not sure about Caleb either. And I think it's going to become a source of major frustration sooner than maybe we even thought, which doesn't equate to Ben not turning the Bears around. I think he might have to do it with somebody else. And I'm not saying it's the backup. It could be somebody they acquire, but that is now the way I expect things to go. Also, I'm just looking for hints and tea leaves. And I think one of them is, you know, did they give Bajent this contract because they want to reward a good guy and a good backup, or did they do it because they want to hedge their bets and make sure that they don't lose a guy in case this Caleb thing doesn't work out quicker than expected?
I think it's more there's no way they think Bajent is any long-term answer.
Sure. Great. Okay. Secondly, when one of the, I think John was the only psycho who listened to Ben Johnson's Monday Zoom conference call.
Sure,
like
did.
I did. And somebody asked him about Caleb's inaccuracy issues, and Ben Johnson's answer was, "This is my first time working with the player," and he referred to him as the player in a weird, dehumanizing way to me. It stood out. It was very noticeable. In a way of like, well, I don't know him that well yet, so you know, I'm figuring it out too.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. That was the same thing that I heard that kind of like
perked you up, right? You were like, wait, that's a strange answer to that
right?
question.
Like you had the whole summer to work with him.
Yes.
He's the guy. But at the other hand, I'm like, well, maybe he's just referring to this is the first time I've worked with him during a season as the games are unfolding.
Yeah,
obviously,
I don't know.
I think that's the more I thought about it, that's kind of how I interpreted it, that it was him. Working
it was
with
like
the guy
kind of like the question
in a
was,
game
I think,
situation,
around, like his tendencies, and Ben was almost like, I don't know his tendencies that well yet. I'm learning them now, which is like almost like a way of throwing your hands up and saying, yeah, I guess I really didn't watch that much of Caleb Williams until I got here, which I don't think is true. It's just a strange response.
I thought that was very interesting too.
Yeah,
you know, and that makes me angry for two more reasons.
Let's hear it.
One. If this is the guy, and again, we're
Ben or Caleb.
Yeah,
Caleb. If he's the guy that everyone told me he was,
yeah,
and we're still a long way from determining that. I don't think 1 year in the abyss should completely ruin someone who's the guy. You could get over that.
He still had 3,500 yards, and a long, you know, no pick streak or whatever it was.
The scenario that Slack lays out where they decide he's not the guy, then they have to go trade for some veteran retread,
right,
or reclamation project, or go to the draft again, mm-hmm. which is probably but they won't be able to, they almost certainly won't be number one,
right,
or even top five. There's a ceiling on that. This was supposed to be the no ceiling guy.
And
I think we're prognosticating like the
we're getting way too ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
we're getting angry for no
because
reason.
Here's the thing: like those four scenarios that I laid out, those four passes, the right reads were made, the right progressions were made. He just didn't execute on the throw. He missed the throw, which he had a bad night. I don't expect him for the next 16 games to continue to be that bad.
Well,
on those plays,
have an answer,
even if he hits half of those plays, those are huge chunk plays or home runs that are going to change a complexion of a game. So it's a bit of an overreaction slightly,
obviously,
but
that's what football is.
Right. It is. And that's definitely what it's become, is that, you know, every week is a referendum.
Yeah. Like if you're looking for a silver lining kind of based off of what you said, it's that like fourth and three fourth down that they went for where he missed DJ, they schemed up a play where DJ Moore was wide fucking open.
Right. And apparently,
good.
Right.
That's
and they
good.
Said, that, right. They were hitting it all week in practice. So if he's doing it all week in practice, clearly you can tell the player has the ability to make these throws. When he does it in the game, something happened, because the throw was so far off the mark.
Yeah, it's crazy.
When you see the all 22 shot of it, it's bananas. I mean, he makes the right progression. It almost looks as though he is overthinking where to place the ball because he's worried about it getting tipped at the line, which is, you're overthinking at that point.
Yeah.
You just see it and throw it. If a guy gets his hand up, that's on your lineman for not being able to keep that guy's hands down. You know, you pick the throwing lane or whatever, but you can't worry about, well, I got to get it over this guy's hand when his hand isn't even up yet.
You don't know if Andrew Van Ginkle is going to pole vault into it.
Right. And, well, he wasn't even in the shot on that one.
Yeah, not on that one.
Mm-mm. So, you know, it's just frustrating because I think, to me, as I thought about it more, I started to feel a little bit better, is that, okay, it wasn't – those four plays, everything was done perfectly except the throw. So there's no way –
But also the ball's still got to get out faster. It's got just a top of the drop out. Like,
well, on those plays, they were out. Those all four of those plays, that ball was out as when it should have been. I don't know that he could have gotten the ball out maybe any sooner. Maybe the DJ Moore one, he could have thrown it on the break. The fourth one at the end of the game, he could have maybe lofted it up a little quicker. But I mean,
well, John,
probably splitting hairs there.
The connection there would be, he's so focused and so amped to throw it on time, and once he hits his back foot, that he's just hitting his back foot, rifling it. I gotta get it on time,
yeah.
Because it's not something that comes that naturally to him, as we know. That if that is the case, that will probably settle down as we go along.
You would like to think so,
but like everything in camp has been, you gotta throw it on time. It's gotta be on time. Hit your back foot. Gotta be on time. So he's just hitting his back, like, because all those throws. It wasn't like he lofted it over someone's head or put too much touch on it. He was, you know, fastball
heat,
high and
yeah.
outside.
Yep. Even the bomb to DJ Moore was, I mean, there was nobody within 15 yards of him.
Right.
That you
just needed to be laid out there softly.
Yeah, right.
And he you know, rifled it to the pylon. So I think there's probably some ampage involved.
Yeah. Too ampy. Juicy.
He's way focused on hitting the back foot and getting it out. And so he's just kind of, you know, really letting it go. If that's the case, I would feel better, because I would expect him to relax as the games go on. But, you know, we won't know. But the scary thing is the eyes dropping, you know, bailing out too quickly, stuff like that.
Turning his back to the plate, a loop all the way around.
Mm-hmm, can't do that.
Because then you've got to completely reset your eyes.
That doesn't mean you want him to not ad-lib at times, because he's
sure.
so good at it. But
and now, one of the things in my yellow pad here, as mm-hmm. we're on this subject.
Let's keep moving through the yellow pad.
Yeah.
My favorite journey.
I've found the broadcast to be, I guess, refreshing. There was, unless I was hallucinating, and I very well could have been, I did not hear anything related to Bears quarterbacks or Bears quarterback history or even a remote controversy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Andrews.
You weren't watching Sunday Night Football. Sunday Night Football
right.
is the one that's a piece of shit.
John, I am the only Joe Buck fan in Chicago.
No, you're not.
Are you one as well?
It was a straight broadcast. I mean, they didn't do any funny business. They didn't
right.
talk about any storylines or narratives. It was literally the game in front of them. And
no,
it
it's the rare ESPN broadcast that treats me like an adult.
Mm-hmm. Except when they have to break out the bad CGR cartoons.
Yeah, that. But you know, it's not as bad as
and
the
it's
Sunday
all,
night
and
one.
It was and I guess like locally, people are pissed that they weren't harder on the Bears and Caleb, and it's like. Man, who gives a shit?
I mean, I know.
I
find Aikman a little boring, but I've never found him disingenuous.
He's fine. He's fine.
He tells you what he sees.
Yeah.
He's not Tom Brady.
Speaking of the broadcast, I can't help but notice they didn't say a certain person with a gun's name until the fourth quarter.
They did not.
He had a decent first half.
I was watching him in particular. You know, it's hard on broadcasts. A lot of times they won't call the guys' names unless they're actually doing something right in front of you. Whereas, you know, a guy like Montez can affect the play away from the ball. Uh-huh. And I thought on those the
he got first, a, did he get a half sack on that first one?
He or? Did. He mm-hmm. did. Or he was at least on a body in front of JJ as he was falling down. So I noticed Montez on a couple of those first three and outs where he was kind of humming around the action and
humming.
But yeah, I mean, obviously humming, the one big you. Play that he had was the coming right at
you know I had going, to get you
batting that pass down. But thank you, yeah, Sam. I mean, I felt like Montez had a decent first half.
All right.
No gun. No gun yet.
No gun. No, but we're getting it.
Montez's gun.
Love gun.
But yeah, I mean, on the
see,
defense,
honey, the gun is his dick.
Cypress Hill to kiss, people. This is the only podcast that will do that for you.
I mean, they were both gun related.
Oh, God, I'm so tired.
I'm just miserable. Hey, Noah Sewell was pretty good.
It was pretty good until he wasn't.
Yeah,
until Aaron Jones was running past him.
I am so sick of that fucking guy. That guy won't have a better game against anyone else.
No, he won't.
Forever and ever.
Aaron Jones and then the other quad beast that the broadcast can't stop jerking it over every time he plays the Bears and he runs for like 600 yards a year.
Jordan Mason?
No, the former Packer.
Dorsey Levins.
Doesn't fucking matter. Yeah, sure, him too. Levins. Whatever.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, Sam. I can't think of his name.
Garbage. Garbage.
I'm just mad.
I am just mad. I mean, like, again, I'm supposed to, in any other sport, I'd be like, I've got to take the long view, long season.
But
I can't do it with these assholes.
It's still true, but you just, yeah, there's just so many, there's only so many goddamn
and it was
bullets.
Supposed to look different. It was supposed to not look like assholes.
Right, because now you are staring 0-3 right in the face. Right? Like, winning it as bad as Detroit looked, the Bears aren't going to make them look like that.
In Detroit.
And then, you know, the Cowboys looked pretty decent.
You know, they've got their offensive coordinator as the head coach. It's the same guy, so they know how to move the ball.
Right. Now, maybe that's just one game they were totally amped up for, and it starts to fall apart afterwards. I don't know who they play Sunday. I don't care.
Oh, but you'll find out, because it'll be a fucking island game.
It's the Giants, I'm almost positive.
Oh, well, that's no good. Like, you know, so, I don't know. And then, you know, and then if it's 0-3, it is serious Spilkis time.
Yeah,
if it's 0-3, but Caleb looks noticeably better, like, and, like, is slinging it.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to matter at that point. Everybody's going to say that they can't win, and obviously that there's an issue in a lot of places. And, you know, a lot of it just gets back to the fact that losing that game, it was in all phases. It wasn't just – obviously we highlighted those Caleb – I highlighted those Caleb throws at the beginning, but – their special teams was god awful.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
In that fourth
Richard
quarter,
Richard Hightower,
and
your plane is boarding.
Yeah, why didn't his plane board last off season with everybody else? Because of the Josh Blackwell punt return in Green Bay, everybody forgot everything else that happened the rest of that season.
Right.
The blocked punt at the absolute worst time,
stupid
and then the
kickoff at the end,
Cairo. Yeah.
Fucking Cairo, you suck, dude.
I don't understand that. And then,
yeah, 50-yard kick. You got to make that in good weather.
Yes,
you got to have that
in 2025. That's a chip shot,
and you got to be sure if you're gonna play the out of the end zone. Like it's you got to be 100% sure. That's got to be Torrey. With
I don't get it. I just don't understand.
I guess Ben said today that he would have kicked it out of bounds, but that opens up a whole new wrinkle because
it's only
that's
five yard
penalty.
But still.
And Minnesota can make you re-kick it. And then if you just can, and then every time they can re-kick it and re-kick it and re-kick it,
but
then
no
it's going to get
no time would come off. If you just kick it out of bounds, like the clock doesn't start until the ball hits the ground or is caught.
Right, but then Minnesota will make you re-kick it. And if you continue to kick it out of bounds, then you're going to get into that scenario like they did last year with the Eagles game where with the tush push where they just kept going off sides at the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get penalized more with whatever else. So,
oh my God,
that would have been, you know, just get a kicker that can kick it out of the end zone. Every other team has one.
They should have used Taylor.
Yeah. That, I mean, kick it out of bounds, fine, but you're also running the risk there of getting out coached by someone smarter than you, who's going to make you kick it in bounds at some point. So anyways,
I don't know.
The defense is just kind of, you know, I don't want to hear about how the defense got tired out, because how many the defense barely played the first half.
Game one, and it was nice outside.
Right. They didn't play. The Bears had the ball the entire first half.
They smothered them in the first half. It's not like they were on the field for any extended drive for a half.
They had significantly fewer snaps than the offense. So
right, being burnt out or tired, that's not an excuse, because the offense couldn't stay on the field in the second half.
If the offense actually scores the one touchdown and make it three scores, which they should have, 17-6. Get one more score, you make it three scores. Then you don't have to worry about the Vikings running the ball on you. J.J. McCarthy isn't going to beat you if they can't run the ball. If you can just pin your ears back and line up, he's not going to beat you that way.
Who does Minnesota play next?
Who gives a shit?
I want to know so I can say...
You ought to know.
I'm very interested to see what McCarthy looks like against a team that's not got...
Well, Atlanta. I don't think that's going to do it for you.
It's in Minnesota, so I'm guessing he'll probably look good.
And then Cincinnati after that. So you're not going to get any answers for a while.
Great. Well, he's just a winner, Sam, and you know better than anybody else.
Yeah. Of course I do. A winner who wasn't allowed to throw a pass.
Well, apparently he can do it now. I should say, he learned how to do it in the course of literally 30 minutes of football.
I mean, we know how this works, right? It's going to be 6, 7, 8 games before teams like say, oh, we're going to do this against him, and then he can't solve it.
I guess. When's Caleb start having things that people need to solve for?
Never. It's never going to happen. He sucks, and it's over. And he's going to go complain to daddy, and then he's going to announce that he has dyslexia, and he's going to demand a trade.
Don't you think, though, like, based on the way things have gone, that story coming out, even if it's bullshit, it still happened? Who else is getting these stories written about them, right? Like, it's weird. We're not done with twists and turns on this, like, story. I think something fucked up will probably come out.
Yeah, but who draws eyeballs like the Bears when they're bad?
I don't know.
When other teams are bad, no one cares.
The Jets.
In town or national?
The Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys for sure.
Right, but like everyone writes those stories. They made a whole documentary about it.
Now the Jets are good. The Giants probably a little bit.
I mean, the Jets aren't good. They lost to the Steelers.
No, not that they're good.
That's a good answer.
Good answer. Yeah. I don't know. Who's been bad? Who's been this bad for this long?
The Jets.
Anyone else?
Well, the Jets have been longer.
People do love to shit on the Browns nationally.
Yeah.
Right, but no one wants the inside story about the Browns.
I don't know. Their quarterback thing is pretty crazy.
They also don't seem to lose as spectacularly as the Bears do.
What about the Deshaun Watson signing? I mean, come on.
Right.
The Falcons haven't had a winning season since the Bears either. So.
Okay.
But nobody cares about the Falcons.
What do they have in common, John?
Ryan Pace?
Correct.
And someday he will have a winning record again. Maybe.
Someday I'll wear pajamas in the daytime.
It didn't work for them, but it might just work for us.
Is the yellowpad tapped? Is that enough? Are we done?
No, I got more. I mean, I could probably think of more. I mean, but
there's so much to talk about in just one game that felt like it took 2 days to finish.
It did. There's just so much.
There's
just so much itchiness. As soon as that, when they went up 17-6, I was comfy and I thought, okay. And then I think the Bears ended up getting the ball like three times when they still had an 11-point lead
and did nothing with it. Just one score. Like, you don't have to score. Just one more score.
Right.
Make it 24-6.
First down would have been
this
nice.
This is over.
Well,
yeah,
they had the clock. They had the one drive. That one drive that with the phantom holding called it, and then everything kind of fell apart after that.
That's a drive.
All right. Well, actually, you know what? We're not done with your yellow pad. But talking about all those back foot non-time throws, I think I feel better. I just want to say that.
Okay.
Why?
Because I feel like that's something that will improve.
Okay. And it might. I hope it does.
I hope so. I hope so. It's weird to me that it was that he was that off.
It's very like, fucked up.
It is. Like there's no
right, but it feels like such an aberration that you know, you can easily say, well, that's not a trend. That's not something we saw last season, is it?
That's what people say. He was inaccurate downfield. However, not to the extent like we saw last night.
Nothing that looked like that.
Yeah, they didn't throw downfield all that often last year.
Didn't have time.
Right.
Right.
It just didn't happen.
You didn't have guys breaking open and him missing by a 5-yard radius.
God damn it.
The throws looked like a guy – like a third string quarterback that just kind of got thrown into a game. Like when you see like the Bears face like Davis Mills or Aiden O'Connell, like those,
hey,
like, or who was the other guy that they beat on New England? That
Bailey Zappi,
Zappi. Those were the type of throws that he was having. It's like, there's no way that this guy, as we've said, was the prospect for 3 years, 2 years,
right,
years, and everybody's like, "No, he can't hit a guy in open field."
Yeah, like
a guy
not
breaking
watching,
wide open, you can't spot him.
I'm not watching Broncos games, but I don't think Bo Nix is missing passes like that on a regular basis. And
great.
He's nowhere near as good as Caleb Williams, at least coming out of college, right?
No.
Right?
No.
Well, he's also like 34 years old, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's not
going like, to
get a whole hell of a lot better.
I don't hear news stories of Bo Nix airmailing the ball 5 times in a game.
Well, what happens is a lot of times it gets tipped and then his receivers end up catching it.
Is that right?
he's a pretty lucky. Yeah, he's had a lot. Like last year, it was a lot of fluky big plays that he was getting. So
for
there
a ball
you go.
To get tipped. You have to throw it near a
just
human
near
being.
Somebody.
Yeah. You have to get it near a human being.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing, too, I think to me where I was getting a little frustrated with Ben was you get the ball back. So Minnesota obviously is that huge swing, and it's 20-17. And you still got the ball back with 9 minutes and 46 seconds left. You couldn't dial something up, something to kind of swing the momentum there.
Do you hear what he said? I didn't call my best game.
He didn't.
When
He's
you're
right.
in the middle of a game, aren't you sort of like, wait, I should pick up, I should pick it up a little bit.
This is the other frustrating part because Slack, like you, I saw a couple people saying he looked out of his depth and. You know, the going for a fourth down where we miss DJ Moore, I get it. Like, I understand, you know, established culture. We're brave. We're going to get this.
Right.
I think you take the points there. The challenge, again, my friend and I were watching this. I'm like, well, no, he touched the ball first. He didn't touch the guy. So I get it. But, like, you have to know the rule better than I do.
Well, apparently he got influenced by people on the sidelines.
That can't happen.
And his
that
coaches
can't
on,
happen.
No,
that
it can't
happen.
The coaches on the headset were like, don't do it. Don't do
they,
it.
So they blew another timeout. You know, so they only had one at the end of the game. You know, that makes a difference. Like, I mean, okay, it's his first game ever as the head guy. And we have to allow for some growing pains. But, man, and then there's, you know, even with the two bullshit calls, way too many penalties.
Which, so many.
That's the first thing you're supposed to come in here and clean up. It's supposed. Tight ship. And
did Eberflus have a worse team perception wise of penalty taking, or was it Nagy?
Flus.
Okay, I don't remember a game even under Eberflus with that many penalty yards. Maybe I'm just.
It just can't be that hard to not.
Well, you've got a couple spot fouls. You've got the grounding. You've got the PI.
Right, and that's fine. Those happen, and I can, you know, like you can't go through a game without a pass interference. Like the grounding, I don't really, you know, he's falling down. He's trying to make something happen. That's fine, whatever. The false starts.
Yeah,
just like that's what you control.
At home too. At home.
Illegal procedures.
Five.
Yeah, the illegal procedures. Like, it's not like your cadence, it's not like your signals of the line are that much more complicated or even more complicated than anyone else's.
Well, they're going to a silent count next week.
Fine. You know, that's what you're supposed to come in here and like, this is how we do it. And this is how it goes. And you can't show up at home and do that. Like, you got DJ Moore moving forward before this snap. Come on, dude.
It's nuts, man. I just don't. I don't.
This isn't Canadian football.
It defies explanation year after year.
I mean, unless like these guys are just so stupid and so poisoned by having the stupid head coach for so long that they can't be, they just can't be saved.
Euthanize all of them.
I don't understand. I think my other theory about this roster being vastly different next year is very, very much in play. I think Ben's going to have to cut a lot of people. Like, there's too many.
I mean, if it looks like that,
there's too many polls guys here. There's too much bullshit, too much stupid. No running back, no kicker. They spent all this money on tight ends. The tight ends didn't do jack shit again. Like, that bugs the fucking shit out of me, because I even remember saying you had people like, oh, you know, if they're unable to block and their left tackle stinks, they're going to have to use a tight end for blocking instead of running out and being part of a dynamic offense.
I saw a tight end on an island a lot.
Well, my point is that they used them for blocking, and that was part of the plan. So the plan was to use your top 10 tight end and your other tight end who makes a fortune to block, even though you spent $1 billion on your line. And so now you've got all these guys just blocking? That sucks.
I mean, I guess I know that people got their hopes up on Loveland because he's picked so high, but I did not expect him to have a huge start to the season. I think he's going to be somebody that develops as the year goes on and becomes a bigger weapon. But you know, the other part too, this is, you know, Luther Burden was a rumor.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him out there.
One kick return that was really good. And that's
at the end
it.
Of the half, big deal. Didn't set you up for anything. Well, you know, and he was part of he was part of the formation on the touchdown to Rome, which was a nice play design. They faked the flip.
Didn't
to
miss
him.
That guy. You didn't miss that wide open.
No.
Even though Rome barely kept his fucking feet on the line.
Of course.
Or off the line.
You know what? I'm not even doing the degrees here. He kept his feet in the
yeah, he did it.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
But not, it's fine. Not like we're bathing in these things where I can dismiss one. This isn't the last 8 games of an NHL regular season.
Magical as they may be.
Yeah, and I guess if we're looking ahead, you know.
I'm always looking ahead.
I'm going to say it if you didn't.
That's why we're friends, Slack.
You have to think that the amount of time that Ben spent in Detroit, he can find some mismatches this week.
Money on the board.
He's played against Flores like, what, 6 times? I thought he would have figured it out then.
Just didn't find any of them. I mean, I guess he found him. His quarterback just nuked it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You're right, though. At the end
of
the day,
it's week one, and I'm already so tired.
It's at the end of the day, the quarterback needs to execute. And I'm telling you both, there's 3 of you.
Matt doesn't count.
As long as he continues to not execute, the shorter this thing is going to be. I don't think they're going to. Yes, I get the 2 years thing. It might not last that long. This is not something they're
like
going to have patience for.
But I don't think it's going to look like that.
Yeah, he's got to make us forget. He has to make us forget by not doing it ever again, or at least not this week.
But we wanted to forget last night. Like, we were like, okay, new coach, QB starting over, come in here and make us forget. And all they did was make us remember.
Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. It's the same.
It's the same thing with completely different coaches.
I'm going to leave.
That doesn't make sense.
Go off format. I just want to interject one Cretan question because it does apply here. And then we'll go back. Longtime guy, Mike Rantis. Sam, you showed optimism about Ben rather than sticking to the moron until proven otherwise mantra. Did you just motherfuck the entire Ben Johnson era? Yes, I did.
Yep.
I absolutely. It's my fault. which is why I'm so tired.
I get the sense that the Cretans respect my own 17 stance.
Yeah, because you stuck to what you said you were going to do and who you are, and I didn't. I can't do it. It feels so
antithetical.
Everything antithetical. Thank you against everything I believe, and yet here we are again. I'm already tired.
Really, really, really pissed off. Stupid.
This is why they should never open the season on Monday night.
If they pull out a win on Sunday, I'll be naked with John running down California Avenue.
Correct. And we will be hooting and hollering about Detroit being 0-2.
Right. And football's so stupid, could happen.
They damn near did with the moron last year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Detroit, I watched a bit of that Detroit-Green Bay game, and I mean, they looked more out of sorts than the Bears did. And they looked more, they didn't even put together a drive.
Right.
At least the Bears gave you that opening drive to,
right.
to make you live for a little.
The first and the
six.
Last drive. The right, it was what was in the middle is the problem.
And the pick six. I mean, the Bears gave you something. Detroit gave you nothing.
Also, that guy still sucks. I don't care about his pick six. It was thrown right to him.
It was a nice break.
That was even more directly to him than Larry Brown in that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right.
I guess.
Can we be?
Yes, always.
All right. Are we doing America's favorite segment? I forgot to ask.
No. And America's least favorite segment, Bears subreddit, is awful on days like this.
What did you think it would be?
Just no, Sam. You don't understand.
I don't want to understand.
It is the worst place on earth, I would imagine.
Toxic.
Horrible. 100 posts same thing saying, did you know that Ryan Poles is the worst GM in NFL history? 100. How come nobody's talking about Caleb Williams being inaccurate?
You know what I never hear?
Yeah.
The McCaskies. Yeah. Well, Jesus, even Ginny died, and it's still the same.
Well, it's not like she had much of an influence at this point anyways.
Are we sure? Maybe she's doing it from beyond the grave.
Could be.
Maybe you know what? No.
Maybe this was their tribute tour. They got the big pass.
Oh,
Jesus.
Speaking of toxic comment sections, if you are bored enough, go to the YouTube video the Bears posted of the 85 team halftime celebration and read the comments on it.
No.
Incredible. It's all some variation on way to make the 85 team proud, you fucking assholes.
The 85 team didn't even know where they were.
Right. Yeah.
The 85 team.
They didn't know there was a football game going on. They didn't know why they were standing there. They just heard their name and raised the trophy. They don't remember they won.
Mercy.
Mercy. All right. Do I have anything? Cliff Deutsch. Long time guy. Does this change anyone's best show of the year predictions? We can't do that. That's official record.
Yeah, that's it's written in stone.
In blood.
Yeah.
Doesn't change mine, I'll tell you that.
Didn't change Slacks. Bobby Otter wants us to rank post-Lovey Bears coaches from dumb to dumberest. I'm not going to do it.
No.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Johnson's not on this list yet. It's one game. I know how bad it looked. But you can't do this after one game. Can't even do this after eight games. We'll do this after the season. Maybe. That's it for me.
Is anyone excited? This is from Johnny Pilot. Is anyone else excited for the release of The Ghost of Yote?
All of us.
Yes. All of you.
All three of us who play video games are.
We're yoded.
Yes, we are. We're diped and we're yoded.
We're diped and we're yoded. I don't know if we've ever said it in the podcast, but Ghost of Tsushima is like one of my top five favorite games of all time.
Okay.
So yes, yoded and
scroted.
And yeeted.
And yeeted.
Greedy McDonuts asks, what's more likely, the Hawks overperform their expectations or the Bears underperform theirs?
Bears underperform.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean they're already there.
Yeah.
They're not already there.
The honeymoon is over.
Right. What's the Bears' expectation? Underperforming what? 7 wins?
No, people are expecting the way that people are reacting today felt like people were expecting them to win 12 games.
That's
I mean, I just wanted it to
look different. That's all I wanted. That's all
they
I wanted.
They win 4 or 5 games. That's a serious underperformance.
Yeah.
Like, then you haven't moved on from last year. Like, you just haven't.
Well, it feels like we're headed towards another 5 wins based on yesterday.
Just stop.
The vibes only, Sam.
What are the Hawks overperforming expectations? 80 points?
Yeah.
No, fuck never. Off. No.
No way.
I'll bet John another dinner on this, a futility bet. I will bet that the Hawks will be the worst team of the league this year.
No, I'm not going to bet that.
John's not taking that bet. Are you crazy?
Who could be worse?
I mean, the Sharks could be. Who's playing goal for the Sharks?
Who cares? Doesn't matter.
Right.
Archer's Urbe.
I'm trying to think. You know, I'm going through the...
Roman Turek.
Look at that Penguins roster.
Oh, yeah. The Penguins are pretty bad.
That could get bad in a hurry. Anyway.
That's all I got.
All right. What's next? Main feed?
Oh boy.
That's you, Matt.
Oh no, I'm looking. Our guy, Zach Rosenbaum, just simply asks, are we in hell?
Yes. Oh, we have been. That's why we do this podcast, to make you feel better about it.
That's the one constant in our lives. Sports wise. So fucking bad. Jesus. Sorry, go ahead.
Apparently Morgan Rogers looked good today, Slack.
Good for the tuna.
Feldman from across the hall.
Speaking of.
With McCarthy having a good second half last night, has anyone checked parking lots for Hub? The excitement might have done it this time.
He came up with my Instagram suggestions, actually. I think the picture was from parking lot.
Oh, my God. Hub must have been doing victory laps all night.
Yeah.
Last night.
Wait. What week is it where Hub comes out and says the Bears should have taken McCarthy?
I'm sure he was saying it last night.
He's already said it.
Not anywhere I saw, but it's coming, right?
He's been deplatformed. I feel like.
Yeah, he retired. I don't think he does anything anymore.
Thank God.
His son might still do something though.
Oh, with his ponytail.
John Clayton tribute.
Well, and Hub's getting another earring.
God.
Book Knight 2002, longtime guy. Do other NFL teams have the same PTSD reaction to a game like last night?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think Jets fans,
Browns fans, Jets fans.
If there were Falcons fans, but there aren't.
Cowboys fans. There's
the Lions
so many
fans for a while.
Cowboys fans are a different breed. I think. I don't know that they've
got a Lakers game to flip to.
Vikings fans have this reaction if you have to kick a field goal in a playoff game.
Yes. Everybody's got it. Nobody's.
Bengals fans have that reaction when one of their players gets kicked out of a playoff game for trying to punch somebody in the face.
Every team has it.
Chargers fans have these reactions pretty much every season.
Are there Chargers fans?
No.
All three of them.
All three of them. The one guy I met when I was working in the casino.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears aren't special in that regard.
No.
They're special in their own way in how they do
things. They're special
sometimes.
To us. But yeah. They're special by scale.
I don't the Bears. I just want them to win.
Right. Everybody says normal NFL teams. Yeah, they do exist, but they're
Eagles
few and far
do
between.
This, like, do this multiple times within the same quarter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Suicide watch to ecstasy. They're the worst.
Mute them all.
Except Fran. We love you, buddy.
We love you, Fran. Even though you don't listen to this.
No, he doesn't. Why should he?
Why should he?
We got a wrestling question from Henny88.
Not a long time guy.
Who do you want and when do you want Paige to drop the title?
We understand. We understand. Slack, you go first.
Who is a tough one? I don't know. Probably I would have thought Fletcher would have been a good person to drop to, but I had the hunch MJF. Even though I don't really want that to happen.
Yeah, you don't want that. That's the question. That's the question, though. What do you want?
What do I want? I haven't really thought about what I want. I'll let you go ahead, Sam.
Fletcher, Takeshita.
I don't want Takeshita to win it as a heel.
But I want it way down the road.
You got to get it onto a heel.
But all our friends are saying short Hangman run, and I get where they're coming from. But first of all, AEW doesn't really do short runs except for Danielson because he was retiring.
Right.
And I like that. I like title changes should really mean something. And I love MJF, but I don't want to see that yet. And so the next two on the list are, I mean, Takeshita's probably the best wrestler in the world. So I'd want that. I think there's a way to do it where he's not in the Callis family. But
yeah, as a good guy would be my preference.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no one really likes face versus face, but that doesn't mean you can't do it well.
Yeah, I'll say this. I don't know when I want it to happen, but I would like it to be before summer of next year.
Yeah, I don't need him to have the title for a year or anything.
But I don't want that.
I mean, unless you're saying, nope, next All In Wembley, it's Swerve and Hangman, and that's our main event. And I couldn't argue with that.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure eventually we'll get there. I don't know.
But yeah, I would say Takeshita over Fletcher. I'm really looking forward to this Paige Fletcher at All Out, though. I think that'll be a corker.
Yes.
Neither one of them have bad matches. They just don't. They don't do it.
All right.
So, anyway.
And last one that I have is from Bedard Haber. Do you think the curse of the bee made Ben Johnson look jaundiced, or can his liver really not live up to Chicago's demands?
I mean, he's used to being here. He knows what the standard is.
Standard is the standard.
The standard is the standard. Did he look jaundiced?
I don't know.
That's
maybe
what people are saying it's just the cameras that I think NBC or ESPN was using.
He certainly looked a little surprised.
Well, we all did.
We all did. The enormity of what he stepped into didn't become real until last night. How could it? All right. I'm too tired to go on.
Hopefully you're talking about the podcast.
We'll see.
TBD.
TBD. So for Slack, for John, for Matt, I'm Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share, and subscribe to the newsletter. They're going to take my thumbs if you don't. Until next week, when we'll be doing this again, God help us, Top Guys out.